Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And this is the time that we discuss about business, economics, and everything which is happening around us, particularly everything that is related to bread and butter. Yeah, it's 18th of November, 2025. And like we're always doing from this hour of 1800 hours to 1900 hours, this is the time that we discuss what is really happening around the world, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and indeed, what are some of the lessons that we can learn at home as Namibia? What are some of the lessons that we can learn at home? And also, what are some of the new development? You know, looking around the world, apart from the former Prime Minister of Bangladesh sentenced to death after, you know, was found by, you know, criminal tribunal killing or ordering the killing of more than 1,500 protests. It was indicated that she was sentenced to death. She was sentenced to death in absentia. And it's not the first time, particularly in 2025, where you see former leaders being prosecuted in absentia. It also happened in DRC, where Joseph Kabila, the former president of DRC, was also prosecuted and sentenced to death in absentia. But the question is, what is the future? What is the future of governance? What is the future of global governance? What is happening particularly when it comes to imaging of democratic institution and system that were supposed to be institution and system which are assisting people to reach their end? And in this case, the end is a greater good of everybody who is finding himself or herself within the state. And you know, there is an ongoing Madlanga Commission. There's ongoing Madlanga Commission in South Africa and also a parliamentary ad hoc committee, especially regarding the infiltration of South Africa criminal justice. But that is a conversation we should be expanded. There is always new revelation. There's always new revelation. The man by the name Brown Mokgotsi was testifying today. He was giving some of the point, especially unveiling the connections between those who are top echelon in South Africa police system and also the underground criminal world. But it's a conversation to expand. It's a conversation to expand and move beyond that. And coming to Namibia, before we go to the main conversation for today, because today we're going to speak about mining, we're going to speak about minerals, we're going to speak about mining control, and also we're going to speak about who have capacity and also energy to operate the mining sector, and also to look at what are the other countries doing, particularly when it's coming to exploration and also general mining of their resources, the pricing, and also the sharing of the price with those who are part of the citizen of that country, and how do other countries do business, particularly in Africa, and what lesson can we learn from these countries who own minerals the same way we own, and what are some of the lessons that we can own, that we can learn. So statistics are indicating that Africa as a continent has more than 30% or contain more than 30% of global mining supply or more than 30% of global mining deposit. However, when it's coming to ownership, it stated that in terms of value added or value addition to the minerals that are exported from Africa to other countries, it's only indicated that it's only 15% of those minerals or of those value addition which can be able to benefit the Africans, which in the direct sense stated that 85% 85% of value added to the minerals is benefiting somebody somewhere. When you see somebody wearing a gold chain in the UK, when you see somebody wearing a gold chain in Pakistan, when you see somebody wearing a gold chain in US, you must ask yourself critical questions to say, could it be that this chain made from pure gold from Ghana, made from gold from Namibia, maybe from B2 gold, or could it be that it made from gold from Burkina Faso? When you see a rocket being launched, you should ask yourself, what materials have been used? Are these materials from Namibia? When people are fighting in terms of military war, and they are threatening each other with atomic, not really to say atomic bombs, but nuclear weapons, could it be that some of these nuclears are made with some of our mineral resources? And what ownership do we have as Africans? And I also take you into the context of recent development which happened in Ghana, and also one of the things that, you know, Namibians and other African countries should look into, particularly when the Minister of Finance indicating that by 2026, Ghana is proposing to end or abolish VAT, particularly when it's coming to mineral exploration. And exploration is a context of looking for mineral deposit. There are those who are given mining exploration license that are known as, you know, EPL. Yeah, we must continue with the conversation, particularly when it comes to mining, especially when it comes to mining, because mining or mines or mineral resources, these are God-given resources, particularly to the country of Namibia and many other countries. And these are the resources which must be handled with care, and they must benefit the Namibian people. But the question, when you look at the discussion of EPL, especially the license to explore, to go and look for, to go and find mineral deposit, it could be that at some places something is found to say, no, there is gold here. But you need somebody who has technical, you know, resources, somebody who have experience, somebody who is expert to go move around and be able to see what really that land has, and confirm that, you know, this place is doable, or this place can, a mine can be started here. But what is very interesting is also that when you look at institutions, when you look at companies in Namibia, and also happen in many other African countries, you'll find that a Namibian shareholder within the exploration company has only 15%, and the rest of the percentage are in charge. Those who are in charge are those who are, you know, from fallen land. But you are asking yourself, for how long after 35 years, for how long are Namibians going to continue benefiting less from the minerals that are in their own country? We can go and expand the conversation, because there was an incident last year. There was an incident last year, by the end of last year, where a certain mine, you know, which was given, you know, EPL, just a license to explore, and come back to indicate to the Minister of Mines to say, this is what we have found. Instead, these guys, what they did is that they started with mining already. And they select, due to lack of inspectors to check if these people are real mining, they were stopped after a certain period of time, and God knows how much of what they have taken from the land of Namibia. But now let us look at the real conversation now, and also look at what has been done, particularly when it's coming to the reform of tax. Now, we understand that due to global changes, due to tariffs, due to war between Ukraine and Russia, due to, you know, imposition or repositioning re-strategizing of economic interests, the alignment of global power players, particularly in an economic front. When you look, for example, Shanghai Cooperation of, Shanghai Cooperation Summit, for example, when you look at how countries are positioning themselves, when you look at countries got tired of position of using international financial institutions due to the fact that there is no a fair ground for them to operate, either to borrow or either also to get assistance, either technical assistance or financial assistance, you'll be able to see that many countries started with reforms when it comes to their policies. Many countries started diversifying when it comes to when, where do they need to trade. And also many countries started to relook at their main source of the economy. Because remember, when things are shaking up on international ground, those of you who are holding the economy of the country must also be able to be ready to have a backup plan on what have you done to make sure that you save your people. That is why when, for example, South Africa was hit with tariffs, when Angola was pulled out, people did not just cry and say, please, that the USA, please assist us, continue feeding us, continue assisting us. When South Africa, when there's in possession of 30% tariffs on every goods coming from South Africa entering the US market, South Africa said, no, we are coming up with a trade desk to assist our business people to look at the East and many other alternatives to continue doing business. South Africa also decided to say, in this regard, we are appointing non-comrade appointee to lead ESCOM as a center of energy. That is why in 2025, South Africa, unemployment rate went down. It's almost at 30% now, which is quite a very significant move. Now, what happened is that Ghana, in the past 2 years or so, Ghana has been one of the countries which also suffered due to economic crisis, high rate of inflation, and also many other challenges which impacted the trade of Ghana, impacted the trade of cocoa, impacted the trade of gold in Ghana. But there is a new minister of finance. There is a new minister of finance who is very smart and also look and read on the trends of what is happening around African countries and what are the other African countries are doing to maintain, protect their economy, and allow and encourage domestic investment, and also encourage local people to participate in key and main, economic activities such as mining. One of the things that the Minister of Finance has proposed is that by 2026, Ghana will no more have VAT, especially when it comes to exploration of minerals, in order for Ghana to consolidate its economy and also for Ghana to boost its economy. What does this mean? What is the advantage? What is the challenge? What happened to other countries which have done the same? Yeah, when we are speaking about what Namibia and many other African countries should also learn from the smart Minister of Finance of Ghana has done, has proposed, although it's not only him, but heading the finance, ministry with quite, very important development which have happened. You know, it was stated that the Minister of Finance in Ghana, that is Cecil Ato Fosson, told Parliament that, during a 2026 budget presentation, because they are looking ahead during 2026 budget presentation, indicated that the government will abolish taxing of exploration of exploration of minerals, and also with the aim of boosting investment. On top of that, it stated that tax removal aim to boost greenfield mining and also allow investment. It also allow small scale miners to be very competitive, because if you look at the composition of the contribution of small scale miners in Ghanaian economy. And also, when you look at the number of tons, how they exported, you will be surprised that they are very competitive. They even surpass, bigger mines in that sector. So when it's coming to mineral exploration, Ghana say no. From there, it's not going to happen anymore. We are giving an opportunity for others to come in. The other aspect which was brought in is that not only for, for attracting investment, the other aspect is also for Ghana to be competitive, because, too much tax. If you have an effective revenue authority, yes, you are a very good country that you are collecting resources. But if your revenue collection policy is too tight to that extent that those who are doing business are not able to, to breathe anymore, then you are suffocating. You are suffocating your economy. Because exploration is not mining. Exploration is searching. Searching, confirming, and maintaining if there is something or not. But some people, when they are exploring, they have seen or they are assuming that people are already mining. But it's also on the other way around if you are working with dishonest people. Because I spoke to the deputy minister of mines and energy, that was last year, where certain mining company, which also in exploration, started.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement. 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Which also in exploration started mining in the area of, that side of Erongo. And they were sanctioned by the minister and the ministry itself. They were sanctioned to come and their directors were sanctioned by the Ministry of Mines and Energy to come and explain what have happened, and also for them to receive punishment, because the Mining Act is very clear about if you are given an opportunity to explore, you explore. If you have a license for mining, you mine, but under the supervision and the inspection of, the inspectors from the Ministry of Mines and Energy. But the question you're asking yourself is also that, are those who are in charge of monitoring and also looking at our mineral resources, are those who are in charge of that job capable? Are they able to protect our resources? Or is just a name to say David is an inspector, but they are really not doing their job? And what does this has on the Namibian economy and also to the benefit of the Namibian people? Now, while we are there, it is also stated that In that juncture, it also making Ghana very competitive, because Ghana has been in the process of reviving its mining policy for over 25 years, and looking at the challenges which it has faced. Because Ghana, regardless of Ghana being the main producer of cocoa, for example, and gold in Africa, economic challenges did not make it easy for her not to be impacted. The number of people who are losing job, either in the mining sector, either in the private sector, did not stop when Ghana started, exporting gold to the world. But what the government of Ghana did said, yes, guys, let us sit down, let us look at what can we do as a government to make sure that our small-scale mining operators got capacity and also are operating with a lighter load unlike in other countries, unlike in other countries, when somebody wants to enter a certain business, the number of requirements are the one which are going to tell you that you are not going to enter here. And you are not going to be told by anybody that don't enter here. You will just realize yourself that this zone, nobody will enter this zone. And if you look, for example, in Namibia, how many of small-scale miners can come forth and indicating that they are doing well in those sectors? How many of small-scale miners, and how are they treated? What are the legal, standard of operating of small-scale miners? Now, you'll be very interested also to see that this did not only happen in Ghana. Ghana also making economic decisions based on what is happening around. Because if you are in a competition with other countries which also have the same minerals as you are, and your laws are still old school, it's going to be very difficult for you to be very competitive and also to win the race. Because business, like in a private sector, like at an international level, when international businesses are cooperating, is the same way when countries, when states are selling their resources, when states are selling the products of their resources, is the same way, because the cost of your product also determines the price that you sell. The cost of you making your product, the cost of you attracting investment, the time frame also determines how you are going to sell on an international market. Here is what is very interesting. Now, Burkina Faso has removed VAT on exploration. Kenya has done it. Ivory Coast has done it. And at this juncture, Ghana decided to say, let us move this way. I want to give you records, and I also want to go and reference on what the African PR Review Mechanism report of 2025 has stated, especially when it that report, which is titled, natural resource governance, what it has stated, and also what African states need to do to make sure that they take charge, they control their resources, and at the same time also, those who are within those countries, they benefit from their resources, particularly mineral-rich countries in Africa. But what is also very interesting is that there is actually no country in Africa without economic ground. Because if you have to put it on the scale, you can say Singapore is poor in terms of mineral resources, because it only leverages on the same thing, on one thing, that is governance and attraction of tourism. And that was the best strategy that Singapore has done, because this is a country without any mineral resources. It's poor in terms of mineral deposit, but they are very strategic. They have good leadership, and they understood that in long-term investment, and also they understood ethical leadership. But what is happening with us in Africa? We are sitting on top of gold. We are sitting on top of uranium. We are sitting on top of diamond. But instead of us making laws that are protecting ourselves, and also laws that are allowing us to participate in the mainstream economy, not only to allow some people to participate in the mainstream economy, to own the mines, to own the strategic sector of the economy, then you are just asking yourself to say, where are we going? Why are we not doing what we are saying? Why are we not doing what we are saying? Now, you may be interested. You may be interested also to look at what is the contribution? What is the contribution of small scale miners in Ghana, particularly in the aspect of gold? It was stated that, the policy shift come after Ghana posted, the records of small-scale gold exports between January and October. And the shipment surged to 81.7 metric tons, worth about, 8.1 billion US dollars. Now, that is in terms of exporting of gold. The other thing is also that when you're looking at this context, it is stated that the small-scale, miners surpassing the large-scale export of 74.1 tons that is worth of $6.6 billion. In simple terms, those who are small-scale mining operators, you can simplify it to say SMEs within the mining industry, those who can just take small tools, you go into the field, you get the license, you go into the field, you explore, then you start digging gold. When it was put together, that records indicated that it's at $8.1 billion US dollar in terms of export, and it has surpassed, the large-scale exporters, which means that small-scale operators in Ghana are the ones which are making more money. And putting that law, which is abolishing, overtaxing, putting that law, which is abolishing taxing of exploration, will make it easy and will be able to expand the economy of Ghana. Now, what are some of the targets? It was stated that Ghana aimed to produce 144.5 tons of gold in 2025. And, we still have 1 month to look at that records. But in simple terms, what we are trying to say is that when the economy is not doing well, those who are protected are the one who are keeping the finance circulating within the country. Those who are protected are the one who are on the ground. Because if you remove the VAT in exploration, you make it easy for everybody to be interested in mining, particularly in those area where, people get an opportunity to do so. So that's why now in Ghana, things are doing very well. Ask yourself in Namibia, what is the cost of entering the mining sector? In, you're a business person, what is the cost? Don't talk about connection. Talk about what you understand. What is the cost of you becoming a shareholder or become part of an exploration of mining in Namibia? What is the cost of you getting a fishing quota? What is the law saying? What is that cost of you owning, an oil company, even a service station? It's very complicated. Not even a young person thinking about that, because of the wall which was built. And these laws are built, these walls are built by laws. These walls are built by laws. And when you have laws which are continue to exploit the people, there is no way that you are going to reach the destination that you want. That is Vision 2030. The other day I was watching when the president of the Republic of Namibia was complaining to say, man, the parliamentarians are busy asking questions after question as a delay tactic, but they are not looking at the main issue. They are tactically delaying development. You may think, you may interpret it also to say, what capacity and motivation are the parliamentarians have to make sure that when it comes to key economic agent, policies that need to be passed, they prioritize that. What is that that need to be done, especially in those critical sector? You know, at the other time, the interim minister of mines and industry presented a proposal of giving power to the president, especially regarding the mining and industry sector. But the main question that you need to ask ourselves is that when you want to take things very seriously in Namibia, we need to come to the reality on the ground to say, if we are speaking about mining, for example, let us go and make a corporate investigation. Let us go and study the past dealings, and not for the sake of looking at people and prosecuting people. Not for that sake, but for the sake of looking forward to say, if it's coming to the Mining Act, these are the openings, these are the loopholes, this is what we need to fix. It's not correct when we attract investment, we are number one in Africa in attracting of investment in a green field. But the SOE that is dealing with oil does not have a permanent MD. It's not correct. It's also not right when the same ministry that is very strong and powerful enough to move this economy does not have a full-time minister. And why are we discussing about industrialization if the industry does not have a permanent and effective head? Because that is where the discussion must start. I do not have a problem who is in charge of the ministry. If Tadkapofi is able to lead us, let Tadkapofi be at Mines and put somebody at NDF, at defense, or put somebody put him at defense and put somebody. Because we are at a point when we are thinking about industries. We are at a point where we are speaking about, we are speaking about African continental free trade area. We are at a point where we are speaking about value addition. Maybe it's also the time that we should also advise to say what Namibian wants is stability, what Namibian wants is effectiveness, so that we can drive the key economic priorities in the country. Because if that is done very well, then there is no way that we are not going to follow in the footsteps of Ghana. There is no way that we are not going to follow in the footsteps.
Do you have kids preparing for the year-end exams? Spoil them with these treats at special prices from USAVE. Four 100-gram Clover Family Snacks strawberry flavor, just $14.99. 1 liter Sensation Dairy Fruit Mix, just $18.99. 500 grams of Yummy Poloni, just $26.99. Nestle Kit Kat Chocolates, just $10.99. And 1.8 liter farmhouse ice cream, only $46.99. You save your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
There's no way that we are not going to follow in the footsteps of Ghana. There's no way that we are going to prescribe to African peer review mechanism of, resource. Natural resource management. Because if you look at the 2025 report on African peer review mechanism, particularly the one which is dealing with natural resource management, you'll be very interested also to expand that conversation, particularly when you speak about inequality, resource distribution, and also when it comes to minerals in Africa. And you also be interested to look at what are some of the recommendations of that report, especially when it comes to natural resource management. And when you look at that report of African peer review mechanism on natural resource management, you'll be able to realize that one of the arguments is that SOEs must be given power. SOEs must be given power to drive their priority areas, and also to negotiate when it comes to the resources which they have owned. And what is interesting is also that there are various countries which are analyzed in this report. Then you can also be able to see that one of the center of argument is in this report is where it was stated that the negotiations which were entered into, the previous negotiation which were entered into, must be revisited so that the African people should benefit from their natural resources. Yeah, today when I was speaking to one of the financial analysts, particularly when we were discussing the issue of the economic benefit of oil pipe line that will be built by Aliko Dangote, one of the things that Ms. Loise has stated is that, look, we need smart people. We need smart people who represent us on a negotiation table. And we need smart people who do not just do things for the rush, but we need smart people who can be able to have interest at heart, interest of the country at heart, and make decisions that are not only short term, but decisions which can serve the country for a long term. Now, let us look at recommendations of the report of African peer review mechanism. Then we can compare it with the discussion for today. Looking at the recommendation of African peer review mechanism, especially on natural resource governance, it's very interesting to look at them, because number one is that African countries or AU member states are encouraged to adopt a real-time data reporting to ensure public accessibility to production and export of information. That is when it comes to the mining sector. The other aspect is also that when it's coming to the natural resources, oversight of state-owned enterprises. Now, in terms of state-owned enterprise, one may also be able to look at what has been happening in Namibia, what has been happening in South Africa, what has been happening in DRC, and also what has been happening in Burkina Faso before Ibrahim Traore came to power. Because if you allow a state-owned enterprise to go wrong, if you allow a state-owned enterprise not to be controlled, not to be having an independent body, you will not even know what is going to hit you. You will not know that what is going to hit you is a project manager who is not giving you enough information. If it's the CEO of the institution, or if it's the board of directors within that institution, you will not know what is going to hit you. But at this juncture, this report is saying that state-owned enterprises are pivotal players in African extractive industry, extractive industry, and often control a significant portion of resources production and revenue. However, an absence of robust oversight mechanism can lead to inefficiency, mismanagement, corruption, which undermine potential drivers of economic development. Now, I do not want to dwell deep into the aspect of mismanagement and corruption, but the question is that now, just ask yourself this question. We have key economic drivers. We have key economic drivers. The key drivers of Namibian economy is fish, is mining, where you have uranium, and you also have diamonds, gold, and other mineral resources. Now, at the center of that, you have SOEs that are supposed to make sure that when the government need assistance in terms of fund, when the country want to sell its production, when the country want to uplift itself economically, those key SOEs are drivers of the Namibian economy. Now ask yourself this question. Why Namdia, for example, still have an acting CEO? I don't want to talk about any other things. Just ask yourself this. This is a very critical institution in our national development. Why it has a key? Why it is an acting CEO? Why can't we have stability and effective at key institutions? Why NIDA has an acting CEO? You go deep and ask yourself that question. Those are key, a key sector. Why a richest? I think it's an SOE which has highly paid executives. They are paid more than head of state, if you do not know. If I just have to leave, it's public knowledge actually. Why NAMCO still has an acting MD? Is it really because we are unfortunate, or there is something that we did not do well, especially when it's coming to oversight of our institutions, especially when it's coming to strengthening of the governance framework of our institution? And when are those institutions going to be fully functioning, having somebody permanent there making key strategic decisions that are not you know, putting us down, but those that are able to assist us. Because if we sort that out, it will be very imperative to drive key priority. Because you have a ministry without a full-time minister, then you have around 3 to 4 SOEs within that that ministry with acting CEOs or MDs, and you are expecting the economy of the country to move forward effectively if those who are holding those sectors are not there on full time. Because we really need to ask ourselves this question. It's not a question of blaming anybody. It's a question of being decisive and being real with what and where we want to get as a country. What are the discussions at a strategic level, and what are the discussions at a layman's term, particularly when it's coming to involvement of people in the mainstream economy? How can a layman involve himself in a fishing sector apart from being a fisherman or being a fishing inspector? How can a layman discuss and be part of the mining, which is part of the country? How can a layman become a shareholder in the mines? Where are those discussions? Where are those information? You can expand it to bankings and the key strategic sector, and you're asking yourself why there is an imbalance, why there is an economic inequality. For how long is the situation going to be like this, and when are we going to expand? When are we going to be inclusive enough to allow everybody to be a participant in those, key industries in Namibia? Now, looking at the situation of Ghana, one may also be interested to ask the way forward, especially what Namibia needs to do, what young people of Namibia need to do. Let us give a perspective. As we are done discussing about the mining sector, let us give perspective to say, for you to be an informed young person in Namibia and not to be a keyboard warrior, or not to be a complainant in any situation, or not to be a victim, what do you need to do? There is an incoming, G20 this week. At the center of that discussion is mining and mining beneficiation. At the center of that discussion is the aspect of natural resource management and climate change. You can only be an informed citizen if you follow what is happening around. You can only be an informed citizen if you choose between watching a football game and watching G20. I know it sounds very youthful, but that is the only way that we are going to grow with time, and that is the only way that we are going to come to the discussion and also see why other people did it. Why can't we do it? Why other people right information? Why can't we do it and do it to the benefit of the masses? Because the statement of the president is very clear to say we are too few to be poor. But are we moving toward that direction of saying everybody must be able to get part of the cake? Everybody must get that pizza of Namibian resources, part of that pizza of Namibian resources. Where are the information on mining? Where are the information on fishing? Where are the information on, owning interest? And how can we transform our education curriculum to make sure that this information are not only reserved for some people? Because and we need to make sure that we hold everybody accountable, so that our resources, our own resources, can be able to be saved, and also our own resources can also be able to assist us when we find ourselves in economic breakdown. Look, a lot of things are going to change in the next 5 years. Watch out to South Africa, Zimbabwe, Angola, and Zambia. Watch out to those countries. Why am I saying this? Zimbabwe have proven, and we have spoken about this many times, that Zimbabwe has proven to be resilient with its already, qualified or educated working force, and its stability in terms of, its consistency in terms of economic growth, and attraction of investor confidence. And investor confidence is something which is very important, because if Dangote come to your country and say, I want to do business with you, I'm putting $1 billion on the table, you may think he has a lot of money. But if an investor is not a serious gambler, he's a business person who is calculating, he already assessed the political environment. When he comes to Namibia, he already assessed the political environment. He already assessed the security. He already, thought ahead to say this is the safe investment.
Love, who's texting us?
Oh, it's the fam back home asking for things to bring with when we go. Food supplies. Auntie needs her meds. Pick up a package.
That list is starting to sound long, plus the traveling costs. Take control with Express Credit and tick off your festive season wish list. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable in 5 months. Same day approval. Visit expresscredit.com.na or call 081-9500-500.
They are teams, but these are the leaders who are thinking about, yes, even after they are gone. And that is what we call planting a tree that you know that you are not going to be under its shelter. On top of that, the Bias is a debatable a discussion. Some are saying it's a dead horse, but the Bias is the Bias. There is no way, although lab-made diamonds are competitive to our natural diamonds, naturality will always win. But Angola has put on a very big proposal of owning 85% of the shares of the Bias. Where is Namibia? Where is Botswana? Botswana is 15, wanted to own 52, and we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, because when the big boys are on the table, these countries, they do not want, things to be the same anymore. They have seen the importance of investing in, owning the main sector of production, not only to own the product, but the main sector of production, the whole chain. Because when you own the Bias, you can control the price. When you can control the price, you can also be able to see and supply in Africa, and also diamonds outside Africa. Another important development that we must watch is a development which has to do with the building of oil facility in Walvis Bay by Dangote too, because when that oil storage facility is built, I think we are also going to benefit in terms of because it's going to change the whole game of us African countries depending on buying oil from the Middle East, buying oil from Europe, and every time, and I'm always unhappy, especially when I receive a news of saying, no, the government is going to subsidize, energy fund is subsidizing. Do you know that an economic defensive mode is a very dangerous mode, because the government is defending you because situation is dangerous outside the assistance of government. It's like bailout. When you are continue to be bailed out, it means that you are not standing on your own. But with the building of new industry, we are yet to see the development. Maybe we are also going to learn how to own one of storage facilities, because we are busy with plans of drilling, and also plan of getting the first oil. People are in the offshore of Namibia. The biggest companies are here, Total Energy and many others are here, trying to find that first oil, and also to see how these things are going to change the economy of Namibia. And main importantly, apart from the economy, is a human being on the ground, because the discussion, especially here at business and economic segment, whenever we go deep into the conversation, the discussion should always be scaled down to say, uncle who is sleeping without food, aunties who is sleeping without food, cousin who is sleeping without food assistance, a job or any other things, how is this discussion going to benefit them? How is this discussion going to touch an ordinary person on the ground? Because we can be sophisticated as we want. We can operate from the higher level of, intellectual sophistication. But at the end of the day, our ways will mean less if we are not incorporating the aspect of a human being who has or who must benefit from the natural resources of Namibia, and that person who must also be secured, particularly looking at the fulfillment of the basic needs, and also being secured when looking at the future, because every Namibian must be able also to be very happy and looking at the future with optimism. But that can only happen when his situation now is taken care of. But yeah, you can only do that when you can only continue engaging with us when you continue following us in all our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and make sure that you read the Villager newspaper tomorrow, and also upgrade your conversation, and also get content and also economic insight, because when you have economic intelligence, it's easier for you to make decisions that are long-term, that are impactful, and also that are able also to change our lives. So continue listening to Eagle FM Namibia, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of from Tuma team, that is Uncle Fly and Okapate Katoka. But for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. Let's continue supporting our Miss Universe, that is Johanna Swartboy, because from the creative industry, that is the only hope that we have, and looking ahead. So have a good evening, and see you around.